This episode of Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor is brought to you by the awesome people over at Apex Entertainment. Apex, located in Marlboro, is located right off Route 495 on Route 20. It's 100,000 square feet of pure fun for all ages. There's always perfect weather at Apex Entertainment, and it's an ideal location for a birthday party, corporate outing, or special event. Or, you know what, just to go and have some fun. Attractions include 30 bowling lanes, multi-level indoor go-kart track, laser tag, bumper cars, rope course, and arcade. Go check out apexentertainment.com. Razor and I thanks Apex Entertainment for all of their support. All right, well, this sit-down meet-and-greet with one Andrew Raycroft has a little different vibe to begin than the other one did the other night as the Bruins beat the Washington Capitals 4-3 on a late goal, 45 seconds left in regulation by Charlie McAvoy over the Washington Capitals. This coming off the, what was it, 17-0? I don't remember. What was it against Carolina? 7-1? 7-1 shellacking. Felt like 17-0. The other night. So by no means was this a must-win game, Razor, as we welcome you into Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. But it sure felt like a win would be nice and kind of important. Not just a nice performance, but a win. Because at times in this game, I thought overall the Bruins were the better team, and I would have been bummed if they got the loss in this one. I thought they earned the W. They did. We're going to get to all of it here. But welcome you in, and I thought it was a nice win for the team tonight.
Yeah, it was. It was. It was just important to play well, I think, tonight. If they had a loss on a couple iffy defensive plays, but dominated shot wise, you know, they would have got. They were just wanted to have a good, solid game, and they did that, and to get the 2 points at the end, and you know, even steal one away from Washington essentially with 45 seconds left, take that out of their pocket, and now you're breathing right down their neck, right down Toronto's neck, and all of a sudden it's an interesting second half of the season for playoff jockeying.
Yeah, it sure is. Some big performances in this game. We got a lot to get to. We're going to, you know, fly through it here after the game was on the Ocho tonight. That was interesting at times. A little bit better production than it has been in the past, but I digress. Posture was great. A couple of goals in this game. Patrice was his regular Patrice-ness. You know, doing things all over the ice. Some you notice, some you don't. Charlie comes through in the end. But I want to talk about Linus. I want to get right to your forte, my man. The big guy. Only 17 shots faced. Gave up 3 goals. The third one, good snipe. The second one, okay. No, when I mean okay, we got to talk about that one. But let's start with the first one. Let's start with that angle shot by Kuznetsov. Where the goalie's down. Are you letting him off the hook on that one? Brian Boucher on the air said that he didn't blame him that much for the first one, but the second one he should have had. Let's start with the first one. Do you agree with that statement?
Yeah, that's a goal that goes in every night in the NHL.
Which
you're
one?
Playing
the
a
first
percentage.
One.
The first one. Yeah, it really? Goes in every night on someone somewhere in the NHL. You see it.
You lose me every time on this one. This is the non-goalie in me. I get it, and you're going to explain it, and because I trust you, I'm going to nod in agreement, but I still want my goalie to stop that one. If only just to not see Kuznetsov do the bird dance.
Oh, I love the bird. I do love the bird. I shouldn't, but I do. It's a percentage play. You're playing the percentages. 9 times out of 10 that gets ripped over the net and no one ever thinks of it and notices. Yes, Omar gets stuck in it. You know, it went in, so you can nitpick it and you can explain why it went in. He should have held his feet a little bit longer. He could have been a little more patient. But at the end of the day, that's what these guys are playing, the percentages, and they're going to continue to make the RVH. It's just what they do. That's, they get in the post there, and you'll see him a lot of times move his head. That time he didn't pick up the puck. A lot of times when I'm watching him go in there, he gets that head over to the side, which covers up that short side post a little bit better. He didn't do that. So he didn't react to the shot, which is the sin of the play and why the puck went in. But it does go in a lot. You'd be shocked. Watch it.
No, I know it goes in. Hold on. We have a special guest here on Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. We have a special guest, and it's Super Cooper, but it's also one young Jake Jaffe who, do you need me? I'm actually doing the show right now, Jake. Do you need me that bad? No? Cooper, come here.
Jakey boy, get to bed.
All right. Get to bed, man. Get to bed. He's got hair like Fabio right now. He hasn't cut it in forever. You can't keep him in here. Go. I'm literally on the air right now. Take your dog. All right. Sorry, folks, for that. That's the beauty of podcasting out of your home office, especially while you've been home. And
when it's not at 2:30 in the morning.
Exactly. Exactly. And since my kid has had COVID, he can come hang with me, right? And this, because I'm getting over, as you can tell, I sound like shit right now. All right. So, all right, I'll buy it. I still don't love it, bud. It's an optics thing. It's an optics thing. All right. Like, the good news is this: the Bruins, who have been getting scored against an awful lot after they score, they turn around and get back at it. Pastrnak with the goal, a beautiful pass, Haula and Hall on the assist, and you know, Pasta going to the front of the net and little slip pass through two defensemen. I didn't think it was great defense, mind you, by the Washington Capitals, who, by the way, were without their top defensemen, Carlson and Orlov. And that's part of the shitstorm that is the NHL right now. We will talk about how the Bruins lost their top player and another top important player, and Anton Bleed. We'll touch on that in just a couple of minutes. But the Bruins tie it up, and I think that this is an important goal in the game. We cannot look past this because it didn't allow the Caps to feel good about themselves. The Caps team that wanted to come in and revenge, you talked about this on the last Morning Brew. They're going to come in. You mentioned, you know, what are they going to do after that 7-3 shellacking that they took to the Bruins, what, about 8-10 days ago? And I think if the Bruins didn't score right away, I can't predict the game, but I'm telling you, it's a lot easier when you do respond right away and you take away that feel good of the visiting team coming into your building.
And on top of it, it's after that 7-1 loss. You don't want to fall behind 3-1 in the next game, because then you really start feeling sorry for yourself and feeling bad about yourself. So yes, on a few different levels, that goal was big to come right away, change the momentum, give yourself some positive vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you. You can't get down like that again. The crowd might turn quickly if you all of a sudden you're down 2-1 or something.
That too.
So Pastrnak looked like he was in charge in this game. Gets the second goal of the game too, in the second period, 8:37, and on a nice stretch pass from Matt Grizzlick. Pastrnak with the wherewithal, the strength, and the smarts to stop, not to just do one shot and coast by. He stops, he power stops in front, puts it past the pad, or I guess I'd say under the pad of Vitek Vanacek. Razor, are you like me, man, though? Are you just not convinced about the Caps goaltending when it's all said and done come playoff time?
No, not even. It's just exactly like last year. They're the exact same spot last year. And if you remember, Craig Anderson was an option for them in the playoffs last year, which is why the Bruins smoked them in five games. And they're in the exact same spot this year. So I would be licking my chops to play that team in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs with the goaltending comprised as it is now. And I'm just to build on that, Pastrnak, he wasn't stopping on that play. He was dumping that into the goalie's pads a few weeks ago on that breakaway.
Yep.
He was determined. And that's, I think that's forever. We've talked about it, getting him. And it wasn't that he wasn't into it. He was still skating at times, but that play there is exactly what we were talking about.
Right. That's a hunger. That's when
yes,
that is a hunger play. When you know, if you stop, it's a feeling you get inside. If anybody's played at a good level, and I'm not talking NHL, I'm talking just a good level where they're in the go, right? They're in that mood, I should say, or that groove. There's a vibe you get when you know you're going to score. You feel like, you know, if you do the right thing. And it's definitely, I couldn't agree with you more, but it's not that Pastrnak didn't want to score before. It's not that he didn't think he could score. He just didn't feel that he was going to. Now he feels like he's going to. And that's crazy. That's awesome because that puts him at a different level. He stops. He hammers it in on the second one. It's 2-1. All right, now let's talk about the Eller goal. The goal that, again, I understand that mistakes happen, but Ullmark, I'm not sure. I'm not picking on him. I've been happy with him. I really have been. But this felt to me like the goal, like, oh, no, Linus, this can't happen here. Like, as important as that Pasternak first goal was, that goal to me sent a little shiver down my broadcaster's spine.
Well, I think, yes, it could. It could. And I think we've seen, I want to just, one is the Bruins, this team. Tuukka's done this before. All the goalies have done this for the Bruins, and they're always able to fight through. Tim Thomas did this, if you want to go all the way back. He gave up bad goals. He gave up bad goals because he was all over the place. And this group, it doesn't faze them. And these goalies, and I'm going to include Linus in this, is that he gives up goals that look horrible. He gives up goals that, but he's 9-2. He wins.
Yeah.
He ends up having, his numbers are low, but he's going to end up 915, 920. This happened in Buffalo the last few years. And this is what, you know, we've talked about. It looks different. It looks different, but he finds ways. He hangs in there. He makes that one save. He would have won a shootout tonight or something if it had gone that far. He does find a way, and he's continuing to do that. So yes, I understand we want to criticize it, but at the end of the day, the wins are the wins, and it's consistent in his career that he finds a way to do it through these goals that go under him or weird, or doesn't look like he's moving well.
Yeah. I guess what it ends up coming down to is that goalies that aren't traditionally pretty, smooth, efficient, calm, I guess it takes, we all want winning cures all, right? But especially those guys that aren't as traditional, you know, I mean, it's like, you know, Hasek, he was amazing, right? And I'm not comparing Linus Ullmark to Hasek. I'm just making the point here. But, you know, people didn't believe that Hasek was as good as he was until he finally won the cup, you know, like, I mean, I know he was an all world goalie, but .. Then he wins it, and he's just like the end-all, be-all. And arguably, you could say, I know Brodeur and Patrick Waugh, the numbers, Roberto Luongo too, but there are many people that say that Dominic Hasek, the greatest goaltender of all time, albeit the most unique, definitely, of all, or one.
Well, no, he's the most dominant over a four-year period. That's indisputable. I mean, he won two Hart trophies. Crazy. Yeah. Nuts. Wild. I'll even bring it even a little more. Is a Robin Lehner type. That's a really nowadays comparison to Linus Ullmark. If you watch Lehner, he gives up a bad goal every time. A goal that is like, what in the world is he doing? But he gets his big body in the way of a bunch of pucks, and his teams find a way to win 4-3.
All right. Interesting question here. Maybe not fair, but I'm not being mean. I mean, who would you rather have, Robin Lehner or Linus Ullmark? You'd be able to delineate with them. Neither have won the big thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would, either one of them. I don't see any. I don't think I probably would take Ullmark, to be honest. Robin Lehner has been on better teams than Linus Ullmark up until this point. Won basically the same amount. You look at Lehner in the playoff series last year, he wasn't that good. At least Ullmark hasn't been in the playoffs. We don't know. So I'd probably take Ullmark.
Yeah, interesting. It's a good comparison, though. And again, I'm not comparing Ullmark to Hasek. Hasek, though, for a while.
No, we were talking about styles. We were talking it took people to embrace it because it was so weird and people didn't want to think that he was good. He was just lucky. That's what you were. Yeah.
I'm saying, and I'm saying Ullmark is not fluid. He is not, he doesn't instill enormous calmness. At least in me. Maybe that's what I need to learn more of. I don't know. But anyway. All right. So it's 2-2. You're saying that the glove goes up, it hits off the top of it, and it goes in. And not that it's okay that shit happens. I mean, he just needs to catch that one, I guess, right?
You know,
I mean,
he needs to make that save. And you can say he needs to make the first save. My point is that it's not over. And these do go in at times. They really do. And if you win, then they go away much quicker. Everyone forgets about them.
Right. Okay. So speaking of winning time in the third period, DeBrusk gets a goal halfway through the period. And then about 20 seconds, 40 seconds later, Nick Backstrom ties it up. DeBrusk's goal, not debatable, just didn't see if that it crossed the line right away. Again, good for Jake. I mean, you know, they played Jake tonight. A lot of people thought, and I wondered too, Razor, if they'd maybe take him out, keep Steen in, lead you to believe that maybe there's somebody who wanted to see him play again for a trade, perhaps. Yeah. I would think so with Foligno coming back, meaning, you know, that's the reason I think that they would put him in. So he gets the goal, and he was involved. What were Jake's numbers on the night? Hold on 1 second real quick. And
Kuznetsov did bury that pretty well, huh? The old backhand five hole.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So here, DeBrusk just bringing up a goal and an assist. Not bad. Four shots. Okay, good line.
Yeah.
A little extra ice time.
Was because, really nice.
Yeah.
Hanging on the boards.
Yeah, really nice. All right, so DeBrusk scores, but then Backstrom scores quickly back. Hard shot, good shot, quick release, a Nick Backstrom-type goal right there. Then the Bruins get a power play. The Washington Capitals did not like. I'm going to work in reverse here about not liking the officiating. We'll start with that the Nick Dowd penalty late in the game. I mean, they were arguing. They were all bullshit about it. What do we think? Was there a reason for it?
It's just the timing of these penalties at times where you're in a tie, 3-3 game. You've already given the home team one power play on the road. And I know there's no even up and you call a penalty. But there is a lot. There still is a feel that all the players, all the coaches especially have, and especially a guy like Laviolette who's been around for 35 years in the NHL, that I think it's hard for these guys, and because it's hard for me and it's even harder for a coach, I imagine, to get over the fact that they're calling all these still. And he's from a time where you put the whistle away after you give one home team power play in the third period, no matter what happens with 2 minutes left in the game. And I think that's where the arguing comes from. A trip's a trip. Right. I think there's lots of these throughout the game where the timing of it is more crucial. And that's always going to upset the road team. It always is. A late power play for the home team late in a game in a tie game is going to make the team go nuts, no matter if it's a blatant call or not.
Yeah, well, these guys were inconsistent. Well, they were what were they? They were interesting, I thought, these officials in this game. But I did think it was a penalty. Take my Bruins Nesson work out of it. Marginal, no, I thought it was a penalty. Now, the problem is, by the way, go back to the first period. Marchand should have had double minor when he got his first penalty, and then he cross-checked, I think it was Jensen, right away. Like, that should have been a double minor. Should have been called. Mm-hmm. So they let one go. They let the other one. They call the other one. I don't know. I mean, once they get on that power play, the Bruins then don't have success until about 40 seconds left or so when Charlie McAvoy gets a laser shot off, to your point. Great pass from DeBrusk holding on along the wall. Hits the guy busting down the seam. And what I loved about McAvoy's shot, he goes to that blocker side just a couple of feet. I mean, it's a hard spot for the goaltender to stop.
Yeah, coming, especially when you're coming from your right, you overplay it just a little bit. And great, how many times we've seen McAvoy still try and make a play there as right. Well, the idea, you know, the fact that he had shoot in his head all the way through that neutral zone into the offensive zone was the most enjoyable part of the goal.
Yeah, I loved it. Great shot. Worthy of a game winner. Bruins win 3-2. Now let's go back.
4-3, but that's all right.
4-3. Sorry. That's right. 3-2. My bad. COVID. Blame everything.
I know. I usually let those ones go, but I know someone will get you for the score of the
game.
Somebody
gets me on shit all the time because that's what happens in broadcasting.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Perfect.
Statistically speaking, some things jump out at me in this game. Bruins overall outshoot Caps 33-17. They do a nice job in the faceoff circle, 55-45%. Led is always by Bergeron, but in general, Caps are a pretty good face-off team too, so the Bruins, they keep that up. Bruins had 17 blocks, which was nice, and did a good job there. But the thing that jumped out to me the most, and I think to a lot of people listening slash watching us or the game. The fact that the Bruins gave up just two power play shots to the Washington Capitals in, what, four attempts for the Capitals. 0-for-4 with Kuznetsov, with Backstrom, with Wilson, with Ovechkin. Now, granted, no TJ Oshie. Important piece of the puzzle there. But
Carlson.
And Carlson. Right. Yeah, it's huge. Huge.
Because you can really, really, really key on Ovi then once right. Carlson. Because Carlson, he can rip it too, folks. He's got a cannon. But with him out, you really focus on Ovi. But despite all that, two shots against any of those guys is impressive. And they did a really nice job rotating, moving together. It was good.
They did a good job at their own blue line too. A real nice job of gapping up there. Their gaps were strong. And maybe you could argue again, that's where a guy like Oshie and Carlson would help, just getting the puck in and then, you know, setting it up, moving it around. But they've given up 7 power play shots in a game to a team that had nowhere near the power play.
That's right. The Caps. That's right. Exactly. So
they really focused on them, and they did a beautiful job shorthanded. And, you know, the kind of the usual suspects were out there a ton. 458 for Forbert. 418 for Carlo. 342 for Charlie. So those are your three top minutes guys on the PK. Lazar, 303. Coyle, 222. Tomasz Nosek, 313. Boy, I know I say it all the time, but, man, he was good. Again, his role. Yeah. He's out there at the end, too, along with Coyle and Bergeron. And good, good, good player. Smart player.
Yeah.
So they do a really good job there. Another guy who got some good PK time, Erik Haula. And you were talking before we started recording. Haula with another strong game, Razor. And what did you like most about it?
I like he's filling that responsibility that Boston Bruins centermen need to fill. And we talked about that. Will he be able to handle that? Will he be able to go 200 feet every shift? Because that's what's expected. And I think he has. And obviously, Hall and Pasternak are going to get a lot of the spotlight, especially since the break and the line changes. Hall is a big part of it. He's kept that pace with those guys. He's been moving. If you look at, I know Charlie's a different player, but you look like what it was like with those guys with Charlie Coyle there and now with Hall, I think you do have to give Hall a lot of adulation for that. So I've liked his game. I like his game. I really do. And I get he's not necessarily a second line center, but he's doing a very good job there. And that time, even on the PK, I think just proves where his game's at and his ability to recognize where he needs to be and how he needs to play for this team.
Yeah. And a couple of assists, 16 and a half minutes, a solid line, a solid night.
Yeah.
The kind of night you need.
And again, those guys were good against Carolina. They got smoked 7-1, but those guys weren't out there for a goal. They were actually pretty good the other night as well in the worst game that they'd had since the break.
Yeah, I agree. Vaakanainen had a nice game too, coming back and, you know, playing over 20
good bounce back, and, right?
Good bounce back game. Happy for Oro there.
Me too. Because I was worried about that one, because that's the one where he's still kind of like Steen, where if he had another clunker tonight, he's probably not in the lineup the next game.
Yeah.
And that's when you start to worry. So that's a big bounce back for him on the back end. I like it.
Yeah, it was important. All right, let's touch on Brad. Let's touch on Marchand getting hit. What was it? Second period. I'm trying to find the time. 6:48, the penalty, Garnet Hathaway. And by the way, let's real quick, just to touch on the Tom Wilson hit on Anton Bleed earlier. I mean, amazingly clean, amazingly impactful, heavy. Those are two big men. Wilson is huge. Bleed's a good sized dude, 6'1", 200, whatever it is. And I mean, just got clean, checked. Perfect check, actually. Execution by Wilson.
You got it. Can't put yourself in that situation out there.
No.
Bunch of big boys flying around really fast.
So Bleed is out.
Clean hit. Nothing to complain about. That's nothing. Great hockey.
Arms down, easily within the time of allowed for a play to be made, a hit to be followed through, etc. Unfortunately, Anton with the injury, whether it was a whiplash, I think it was more whiplash than anything, just the overall impact when he went down. But then, so you get no call and no argument there. Then let's go to the play that, you know, a lot of people are ticked off about. Garnet Hathaway interferes, Brad Marchand, 6:48 of the second period. What got me was that the official, the low official, in this case, it was Kendrick Nicholson. And I've said umpteen times, I'm all in favor of the officials, as brutally hard of a job that they have. But, you know, when they deserve praise, they get it. When they don't, they don't. It wasn't like he had his back turned. He watched this whole play happen. He wasn't going to call it if it wasn't for the guy 70 feet away. I think it was Kyle Raymond who called it. I mean, it was clearly a finish. Was it the worst that I've ever seen? No, let's not. But to me, it was undoubtedly a penalty. Unfortunately, Brad looked like his right shoulder, it just made bad contact with the boards. Had it happened for me years and years and years ago, I'm almost the exact same thing. I separated my shoulder. It was like a grade 2. That's my guess. What's your guess? I mean, it looks like a shoulder separation to me. I mean,
yeah, that or a broken collarbone. Those are the two things that happen when guys go hard into the boards like that. And and when you can't raise your arm, that's the first thing I did. I went right to the schedule. All right, how many games do they have before the All-Star break, before their 7 days? And it's 6. So expect him out 6 games, and the timing of that isn't that bad.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was an unnecessary hit. That's what I thought. Is that fair or is that not fair? Yeah. Is that?
No, that's fair. It's unnecessary. It's too, but it's not suspendable if that's where everyone wants to go. People try and hit Brad Marchand like that 5 times a game. And most of the time he slithers out of it. Most of the time he just absorbs it into the boards. But that's one of those ones where he gets that extra attention hit from those guys because he's got a target on him.
But I couldn't agree more with Brad. You didn't need to be a lip reader when he came up and he looked at Nicholson, the official, and say, "How the F are you not going to call that?" He said that to him. And I'm saying the same thing from my area where I'm watching the game from my room, my living room. Like, how are you not calling that? And then I hear the whistle. I see the guy, you know, the back official call it. And I'm like, thankfully. That to me was mind-boggling, quite honestly. And again, I don't regularly criticize the officials knowing how hard their job is, but holy smokes. Like, you're looking right at it, Kendrick. Right at it.
These guys, they're missing lots.
Yeah. But then they'll get the stick on the
That's pair. The problem. They'll get the random trip. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah. So that's my take was I thought it wasn't necessary. I couldn't agree more that it was a penalty, and I agree. It's not a suspendable offense. You could talk, is it similar to Frederick with Kirill Kaprizov
type? That's where I put it. That's where I put it. That, like, again, Freddie was unnecessary hit. He didn't need to hit him there to separate him from the puck. The puck was kind of there. Should have been Freddie got the interference penalty. It was the exact same interference call. You know, if you want to not to prove our biasy that we're not homers, that's the comparison that I'm using for it.
I'd agree. It sucks. And I'm disappointed if Brad's out for any extended period of time. However, your point is well taken. next game is Saturday at home. And then is it 5 more games? You said after that? Before they've got a 6-day break.
That's right. So you're looking at 3 weeks till that, just under 3 weeks.
Well, you hope it's just a slight, if anything. I thought shoulder separation right away, if only because, you know, I've never done, have you ever broken your collarbone? I've never broken my collarbone.
No.
So I don't know what that's like, but I have separated my shoulder. I've torn the rotator. I've done a few different things, but to me, it looked like a separation. We'll see. We'll see what it is there. Not fun. And the Bruins need this guy tremendously. They're also without Anton Bleed. So now the question becomes, who do you call up? Now, you know that Steen's going to come back into the lineup. Mm-hmm. So there's one guy. And, you know, now doing a little bit of investigation, I'm hearing that a guy like Stephen Fogarty has played really well down there, but he's listed as a centerman. He's 6'4", a little over 200 pounds, but he's a centerman. Stanika, I'm told, has been better. But, you know, it's kind of slim pickings for wingers. I guess the big question is Trent Frederick. Where is Freddie at? I don't know. And I haven't, being sick this week and not being around, I can read, but I haven't even been to practice or anything, so I don't know. No clue.
Yeah. No clue, but it, you know, whatever it is, it's not filling Brad Marchand's skates, so it's certainly going to be a mash kind of setup here for a little while, whether, you know, whether the winger is great and tearing up Providence or not, whoever it is going to have to fill some minutes. And obviously it's going to fall to that second line, right? The second line turns into your first line almost. Yeah.
So let's make our lines in real quick before we do our Apex most entertaining moment and wrap this morning brew up. You'll tell me if I missed anything. I'm sure I did. If I did, tell me. I think you might see 74 with 37 and 12 now. I think you might see that elevation.
Yeah, I agree.
Then you go 71, you know, you go Hall, you keep 56 and 88. I mean, that becomes your top line, basically.
Yep.
Then you're thinking 17, 13, 62. That has to be your third line.
Has to be.
Okay. Then you've got 92, your Swiss Army knife in the middle.
Yeah.
And I guess the question is now, what's up with 11? What's up with Frederick?
Yeah.
I don't think he's ready. I just haven't heard his name at all or anything. Or two call-ups. Or do you go 11 and 7? Would the Bruins go 11 and 7?
Connor Clifton there.
Yeah.
He's played. Although he's been,
you know, he and Forbert have been pretty good. I mean, you know, like they've made a good pair.
Yeah. But you can move him around. I guess it will. You know, if Brad Marchand's out for 2 months, then they probably have to do something. But if it's six games, then I bet they put a Band-Aid on it. And
well, you got Lazar. I forgot. You have Lazar on the right.
Lazar. Yeah, on the right. So you only need one. You only need to fill left side fourth line. Like maybe you can jump in and do that for a couple games.
No. No. Definitely. For many reasons. All right. Well, you know, with Steen coming back, hopefully he'll pop right back in and pop right back up with his good play. You say, okay, yeah, let's. DeBrus now really gets ultimate showcase central in the sense with Bergeron and Smith. All right, let's see. Maybe they take a guy like Fogarty and they say, hey, man.
Yeah, it's a time of year where you throw guys like that bones, right? Yeah. If they've put on a good show for 4 months in the minors and done everything they've been asked, you give them a few games.
Why not? Give them a call up. A
couple days of NHL money. Yeah.
Yeah. And you say to them, hey, look, we know it's not ideal. Maybe they say to Noshek. Or no sec, Thomas, you know, help out down low. You'll take some faces, but maybe Fogarty's in the middle too. You know, like, maybe they have options type thing there. So, and then who knows? Maybe there's somebody else that they're going to call up that I have no idea about. All right. You got an Apex most entertaining moment of the Bruins 4-3, not 3-2, 4-3 win over the Caps.
Well, I love the break. I love the breakaway where you talk about, but you have to go with a game winning goal with 45 seconds left. I mean, that's the easy one. Sometimes we have to manufacture them. That's as good as it gets for the excitement of the garden, the people in the garden. Apex for me is Charlie McAvoy's goal.
Yeah, good one. Real good one right there. And I think that game-winning goal is great. I do love the breakaway as well. I'll tell you the other very entertaining moment I had, speaking of Charlie McAvoy, was his hit on Trevor Van Riemsdyk. Soon after the hit on Bleed. Just entertaining and appropriate. Maybe it's the Apex most appropriate response. Although, I would like the Bruins. How many times have I said this, Razor? Get a little more size, man. Back end, top, whatever. Just somebody to help out in that regard. But I love the fact that Charlie did that. So I'll call that my most entertaining moment. Go make sure to check out apexentertainment.com. You will be entertained no matter what when you're there. They've got the big place right in Marlboro, where the weather is always good. It It's always beautiful and sunshiny at Apex Center, at Apex in Marlboro. Bumper cars, all types of video games, everything you could ask for there. Go check out apexentertainment.com. All right, bud. Anything else? Bruins, I'm looking to see. They will have practice on, yeah, they have to because the afternoon game on Saturday. Are you working Saturday, bud, or no? Yeah. You are?
Okay. Nope. I am not.
You're not. I am not. Just a Barry special. Nope. I'm out.
Must be a Barry special.
Yeah. I'm out till Sunday. It's probably when the earliest that I can come back. I will be listening or watching on Saturday to see if Barry, what he does with names without anybody else there too. Just
I know. I got to check that Winnipeg roster. Be interesting. Him and Dale will have a busy day.
They will. Yeah. It's Hellebuck, Barry, not Hellebusic.
Yeah.
Hellebuck. Love the guy. All right. Razor, have a good night. That does it for Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Everybody enjoy the Bruins victory. The Bruins continue to climb in the Eastern Conference right now, just 5 points as we sit here after this podcast, 5 points behind the Washington Capitals with 4 games in hand.
Yeah.
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
They're ahead on points percentage.
Yeah, they do have on points percentage. You're right, by 0.003. The Bruins are just 3 points behind the Toronto Maple Leafs as well right now with the same amount of games. So a lot of fun stuff. To keep our eye on. Everybody, have a wonderful Friday. Enjoy half of your Saturday before the Bruins take on the Winnipeg Jets. That game, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock pregame on Nesson. Yes, the game is back on Nesson, where we love having all of them. It'll be Dale and Barry. Razor and I will have the day off. We'll be back with you in, I think, about 4 days for another Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Everybody, enjoy it, and especially enjoy that Friday.